Hello everyone, and thank you for joining the webinar today. If you are in this webinar, it's because you're interested in a Fulbright opportunity for community college administrators in Russia. This is a very special program for many of us at IIE because it's directed only at community college administrators. Many of you have probably heard of other international education administrator seminars, which are quite similar, but that's open to the entire higher education population. So this one is just very, like I said, near and dear to our heart to really expand our audience and our reach. My name is Sarah Kosser. I am the Institutional Engagement Lead here at IIE for the Fulbright Scholar Program, and I'm joined today by my colleague who you've already heard from, Mary Rolfe Seller, if you want to say hello again. You guys probably have received many emails from us and will continue to receive emails, so we're really excited to work with you guys for this upcoming cycle. We are also joined today by Nadine Russell, who is the Director of Global Learning from Central Piedmont Community College in North Carolina, and she was a past recipient of the Community College Administrator Seminar. If you would like to say hello, Nadine.
Good afternoon, everyone.
All right. So we first off, we'll do kind of a quick overview of what the Fulbright program is, going straight into the Russia CCAS program. We'll kind of abbreviate it a little bit throughout. And then after we're done speaking, we will actually pass the microphone to Nadine, who will go over her experience, any tips and tricks that she has from when she was applying to waiting through the selection period, all the way through going on her grant. And so with that, we will proceed on. All right, so the Fulbright program, as many of you might know, was established in 1946 by Senator J. William Fulbright, and the goal was to strengthen the relationship between the people of the United States and the people of the rest of the world. So primarily, this program is really a people-to-people diplomacy. We cannot stress that enough. This program's goals, keep that in mind while you are writing your application. Just keep it in the back of your mind what really J. William Fulbright wanted to get across, and just make sure that really resonates throughout your own personal statement. Additionally, this program is sponsored by the U.S. Department of State's Bureau of Educational and Cultural Affairs, and it is administered by the Institute of International Education. And in the photos on this screen, they really kind of go back to the goal of Senator J. William Fulbright, you can really see the true depth and history of the program. The first black and white photo that you see was one of the first scholars to Burma when that did open up. And the other photo on the right was of a Fulbright Arctic Initiative scholar, and that was a program that was piloted about 4 years ago and is currently in its second year of recipients. On the next slide, you will see Fulbright by the numbers. We like to put this in there so you can really see who all has been a Fulbright recipient in the past. We are nearing almost 400,000 Fulbright awards since the inception in 1946. Every year, we award about 800 U.S. scholars annually. So that 400,000 is comprised not only of Fulbright scholars, but Fulbright students, Fulbright teachers, Fulbright specialists, anyone under that huge Fulbright family. So you're kind of, if you are awarded, you'll be welcomed into a very loving family from around the world and across the United States. You can see other numbers on here about Nobel laureates and Pulitzer Prize recipients. We have a colleague who always says your chances are increased if you become a Fulbright scholar of becoming one of these other many awards. As I said, part of the quick breakdown is just to let you know kind of where the grants are and how they're structured. So as you can see, we have three different awards listed on this page, but only two colors represented in the charts. That's because in 1718, we did not have a collaborative research grant. That is the actual Fulbright Arctic Initiative. It's every 2 years, so just to let you know, that's the only reason it's missing. But predominantly 90% of the those 800 awards are the core Fulbright Scholar Program. That's probably what you're more used to hearing about for faculty members and administrators going overseas to research and or teach. That little blue to 10% section is what comprises of the IEA seminars, which also includes this Russia Community College grant as well. And so that 10% is where you fall in and where we hope to get you plugged in. All right. In terms of the seminar offerings, we always want to include this page just so you know exactly what is out there. We have reached out to your institutions and hope you're interested specifically in the Russia Award, since it is only for community college administrators. However, it'd be remiss of us not to include the other awards that are out there. As community college administrators, you are actually all eligible to apply for any one of these awards. However, please keep in mind that each award has a specific professional profile. So while France is looking for senior level university administrators, you'll see Japan and Korea are looking for either those on the ground international education administrators and study abroad, or international student services, or they are also looking for senior level administrators. And when Mary Rolfe takes over, she will actually go into the catalog of awards to show you where to find this information. As you can see, India and Taiwan have already passed for this year, but stay tuned for next year if you know someone that would be good for those. Word of mouth is a perfect way for us to get this information out there. So if you know of anyone else on your campus that these programs might be geared towards, or someone at another campus, please feel free to share this information and put them in touch with us. On a whole, the Fulbright IEA seminars are intended to have broad personal and professional impacts on the grantees. From this experience, their home campus will be benefited with increased knowledge of the host country's higher education system. This, in turn, aids in the development of programs, international student advising, and broader global collaboration. Additionally, the grantees broaden their networks with possible partnerships and cooperations through the other Fulbright IEA grantees, and I know Nadine will touch on that a little bit more. One key component of these programs is it's important for the applicants to think about their application in relationship to their university, as well as keeping in mind that kind of Fulbright goal and mindset. Please note, this is not just a personal application, but more broadly aims at increasing institutional internationalization. All right, and then for the eligibility, which should be on the screen right now, in order to be eligible, you must be a U.S. citizen at the time of application. One thing to note, as we said about the other 90% of awards, those tend to have PhDs or terminal degrees required oftentimes, not always, but for the IEAs, that is not required. You do not need a PhD, you do not need a terminal degree. So this one is a little bit more open in that kind of scope. As I said, we will go into the catalog of award, just so you're aware that there has to be the appropriate professional experience and background required, and that usually is expressed through your CV. So if you have any doubts that your experience matched the award, please email us your CV. We'd be happy to have it. We'll take a look at it, and we'd be happy to advise you on where to go forward. Again, there's additional requirements by each award, so just keep an eye out on that. Mary Rolfe will go into exactly what they're looking for and what you need to do. And the last note, actually we have two last notes, the last bullet on this page is there are new policies every year on previous scholar grants, so maybe one of you have had a grant in the past. The current waiting period is 2 years between grants, so you are not limited to just one grant, so just keep that in mind. And if you are interested in other opportunities, this doesn't apply to the Russia Award, but there are some awards that are looking for, that are not looking for English language teachers. So just keep that in mind as we go forward. All right, Mary Rolfe, it is all yours.
Hey guys, so Sarah did a really great job, thank you, of going over kind of IEA seminars as a whole and how CCAS fits into them, but now we want to look at CCAS, since that's why you guys are here today, is to talk about Russia and this program specifically for community college admins. So just quickly about the professional profile, this is only open to community college administrators. The great thing about that is that you are going to be surrounded by other people within your field that understand the nuances and intricacies of community college administration. The other programs, while they're open to community college administrators, the programming doesn't really focus on community colleges. It's typically your site visits, things like that, are going to be at four-year universities. So while it's great to get kind of an idea and a sense of the culture in the different countries, this community college administration seminar is specifically geared and program is designed for community college-like places in Russia. And so the other thing about the fact that since this is only open to community college admins is that you're only competing in the application with other people from community colleges as well, which, of course, makes you have it's a niche community. So that gives you, you're not having to compete against somebody who's at a large university that maybe might have had more opportunities for more programming that you think would then deter from you being able to have a successful application. You're not going to have that. So the other thing that's really important about professional profile for this specific award is that you need 5 years of experience at minimum in community college administration. And so if you have any questions about that or what that minimum years of experience looks like, feel free to email Sarah and I, send us a copy of your CV, give us a description of what you do, and we're happy to review your qualifications and make sure that you're eligible for a grant. That's something that we always like to do, we're always willing to do, and if maybe you're not a good fit for one award, we'll be able to see if we can fit you in somewhere else. The most important thing about the Russia program, and I want to do a deep dive into the actual award description because it's definitely one of the more robust award descriptions for the Community College Administration Seminar. The International Education Administration Seminars aren't as thorough as the Russia one is, which makes it really easy to go through and to learn so much about it. But the key highlights to pull away from this is that you're looking to prepare U.S. and Russian institutions to internationalize your campuses. You want to broaden the scope of their programs and provide mobility opportunities. So if that excerpt from the award description speaks to you and what you're looking to do with your university or with your college, that's something that would definitely maybe want to attract you to the Russia program, because those are the three main goals of the Russia program. Again, like Sarah said earlier, the deadline for the Russia seminar is October 15th. So the deadline is October 15th, 11:59 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. However, you can submit anytime before then. The grant dates, so fortunately for this Russia seminar, we actually have the exact dates of the program. So this one will take place March 30th through April 13th. So you'll have a day of travel. Your programming is already going to be set. The thing about the IEA seminars is more or less your sun up to sundown is jam-packed with a really great schedule, and Nadine is definitely going to be somebody who's going to be a great asset to be able to talk to you about what a typical day looks like on an IEA grant. The last point on just this slide is the award description. So we will be archiving this webinar. You will be able to come and listen to our wonderful voices again, but more importantly, we'll have the PowerPoint archived. So any of these links that you have active on these slides right now, you'll be able to revisit later, like the award description. So I'm going to go on and open this award description to look more at what specifically Russia is looking for. And so the award description, this is taking us directly to the catalog of awards, which is where any of the Fulbright opportunities are listed. This includes the International Education Administrator Seminars. However, it also includes those traditional Fulbright core teaching and research grants that professors are typically after. So don't get overwhelmed if you open the catalog of awards and see close to 500 opportunities. There's a way to narrow that down so that way you only see the seminars. But this award, So what you'll see is there are 5 grants available for the seminars. Don't let that intimidate you that there are only 5 opportunities available. Like we were saying earlier, community college administration and community college administration for international education is relatively niche. And so if that's something that your community college is really interested in, then go for it. Sarah and I, again, are here to help you along the entire way with your application, with any questions that you have, with thoughts on suitability. And so we don't want that number 5 to intimidate you. We want that to encourage you to know that you can be one of the Fulbrighters on the grant. You'll see activity, seminar. So anything that has seminar listed as the activity is going to be those IEA grants. So that's a way to filter the catalog of awards when you're looking. You'll see that a PhD is not required. Like we said, there's no terminal degree requirement for the IEA seminars. You'll have the deadline here, again. So program staff. So you want to go down to the part that says for CCAS seminar. So you'll see Sarah and I are both listed here. Feel free to call either of us. But more importantly, the meat of this award description is going to be on the left-hand side. So like I was saying, this award description is a lot more in-depth than the other ones. And I encourage you to read this, reread it, and read it again before you apply, because there's a lot of nice nuggets of information in there about what they want you to gain out of this seminar, what they're offering you. And so you want to make sure when you're writing your statement of intent that you're kind of using these as a guideline almost. And so most generally, you're going to participate in a group seminar that will focus on the role of community colleges in higher education and the local community. You're going to exchange knowledge and best practices. You might be looking to enhance collaboration relationships through faculty, student exchanges, ESL programs, just program delivery in Russia as a whole. So those are things, if you're looking at doing that, you want to, this Russia program is going to be a good fit for you. If you kind of scroll further down, they say that, you know, you'll have some pre-program preparation, some country briefings, you'll have site visits. You're going to be meeting with the senior administrators, government officials, and community representatives while you're over there. Again, this is that packed schedule that Nadine will be able to tell you about. But then you're also, it's a two-way street as far as with how these seminars go. You're going over there to learn a lot, but you're also over there to be able to share how things work on your campus. And so that's a great opportunity for you to be able to speak about what your college does and what your community does. And you're learning from everybody that you're meeting in Russia, but you're also learning from the other people in your cohort. Sometimes that's actually where the most fruitful relationships can come from that we've heard from alumni, is just the bonding experience that you have with your the other colleagues that you make and you befriend in your cohort. So again, if you forget those dates, the dates for the grant are right here. So the way that the administrator seminars work is that you will, typically, they all take place in the capital city for a couple days, but then you'll go outside of the capital city. And the cities that you visit will vary year to year because they like to change up the programming and make sure that people are getting to see new and different places. And so they may be focused on a certain region, or they'll be kind of all over to get a nice diverse perspective on everything. So with this award description, they're planning on, you'll be in Moscow at the Fulbright office there, but then they're also planning on going to at least two or three other cities. And these are going to be either universities or technical colleges that are going to give you a good in-depth version of kind of what the Russian version of a community college would be potentially. And so I will completely butcher these names in Russian, but you've got Petrozavodsk, St. Petersburg, Kaliningrad, and Tver. And so these are all different places where they may be sending you guys as a cohort. There's links to all of the universities if you'd like to check them out just to get an idea of what they're doing ahead of time. And also for potentially when you're crafting that statement of intent and why you'd like to go on this grant and what that means for your college. If your college may be specifically you seem that the Kaliningrad College of Business seems like something that would be a fruitful relationship or collaboration, you could add that into your statement of intent. Down here for specializations, this is something we typically use for the Fulbright Scholar Core program, those teaching and research grants that traditionally go to professors. This, however, is great because it's actually talking about what your home institution's strengths are. So if at any point your university is looking at workforce retraining or finance and accounting, IT, sports and recreation management, tourism, hospitality, nursing, public health, any of the stuff that's listed in that specialization, those are specializations and disciplines that the Fulbright office in Russia has said they really would like to see applications with people who work at colleges that are looking to expand on those programs that they have. If you're not looking at expanding specifically within these programs, that's totally fine too. These are just preferred specializations, which just means that they'd like to see them. However, it's not required. If you go back up in the award description, there's the award requirements tab. This is also helpful because it will talk about, you know, professional profile. This is where it's going to get into the fact that you need to have that minimum of 5 years of experience. They're open to presidents, vice presidents, provosts, deans, anybody who has institutional authority for program development and international outreach. So what that means at your college could vary, but if you can serve in some sort of program development or international outreach capacity in any sort of your job description, then this program is definitely a great fit for you. If maybe you're not there quite yet and maybe you'd like somebody still to go on the program, then recommend it to one of your colleagues. There's nothing that says that more than one person from a university can't apply. It's perfectly okay to have a president and a vice president or a dean and a provost all apply in the same year. For a program. Then what you'll want to do is there's this link for special instructions, and I'm going to open that in just a minute before, after we go through the rest of the award description, but I want you to keep that in mind as far as these special instructions that the IA seminars have for the application. Award benefits, this will talk a little bit about the stipends that you're receiving. It's a lot more in-depth for the core program because they're talking about, you know, what status of professor are you, how long are you going, what type of research versus teaching are you doing, versus the Community College Administrator Seminar is a more set stipend as far as you'll receive round-trip air allowance and then you'll be receiving lodging and meals. So that's something that's a little bit less tricky to navigate as far as grant stipends going, since you're only gone for 2 weeks versus some of the people on the core program who are going for 12 months. Country area overview. This is a tab. This is written for both the IA seminars and the core program. And so if you see any information like this teaching and research stuff right up here, you could ignore that. Don't worry about that. The thing that could be helpful is the information that's saying, all right, you can't be a dual citizen. If you ever want to reach out to the program officer that works on the IEA side of things from the Russia perspective, you can reach out to her. You're welcome to. There's also a little bit of information just on Russia as a whole and maybe what that means. If you have any questions, you could look at this. Again, it's typically written more so for the core grantees versus the CCAS grantees. So if you have any questions about the grant or how things go, feel free to ask them now today with Nadine or write into us and we can find those answers for you. So I want to go back, and I promise I'll turn this back over to Sarah at some point, and to Nadine, but I want to go back really quick to the award requirements and the special instructions. So the application for Fulbright, there's one big application, and what you'll end up doing is when you open the application, you'll select that you're applying for the IEA CCAS seminars. Once you do that, it'll prompt you for an application that's slightly varied from that core program application. And because, you know, the outcome and what you're doing with your grants is going to be different, we want you to have a slightly different application to address different features. So that's why we've made separate guidelines for the IEA programs for the CCAS seminars. And you can follow these guidelines when you go through your application, not the standard core guidelines. We've got great information about statement of intent, even down to how many pages it should be, what different things you should be addressing. We've got institutional statement. That's another piece of your application that you'll need, your CV as well. And then reference letters, who should be writing your references. This is all information that you can go back to at any time to review before you submit your application. And it's really best to use while you craft it. We've also got application instructions, which are literally step-by-step instructions to get you through your application. So how to answer certain questions, because sometimes they're going to ask you something like, what's your discipline? That's not necessarily going to be as important for the IEA seminars as it would be for the core program. But these are a really great resource as well. And so that's kind of the catalog of awards and the award description and the resources that we have for the application instructions in a nutshell. It's a pretty quick overview. I want to double check if there's any questions. It looks like we are good. Hopefully that means I'm just being really thorough, but we'll get back into the presentation. So, selecting the right award, this slide we've kind of talked about a little bit already as far as you're here likely because you're a community college administrator. So you've probably already narrowed down your award selection. You've probably been attracted to Russia, maybe you're looking to expand in Europe, maybe you're looking to see how other countries address community college or technical college like education, or you're interested specifically in Russia. Any and all of the above are great. So you want to look at how you're planning to internationalize yourself as a campus, and that's something that you'll want to be addressing throughout your application. You want to address if you're looking to increase the number of students, either ingoing, inbound, or outbound at your college. That's something that you'll want to talk about. You also want to look at your personal experience with the country or with the region, possibly. Some programs will kind of shy away from people who have extensive experience in the region. I'm thinking more about France and Russia France and Germany when I say things like that, because you want to go on a Fulbright because you want to learn something new. You want to be exposed to something that you haven't been exposed to before. And so that's what we talk about as far as the significant professional experience. You want to be able to still learn something. It's not something where you want to be teaching everybody about the region. And then also your professional profile. We want to make sure that you have that 5 years of experience and that you're a community college administrator if you're looking specifically at CCAS. Okay. Application components. We touched on this very briefly just now with the checklist and the instructions. The guidelines, you have the application form, that's called EMBARK. You have a statement of intent. This is both the goals of your university and also your personal interest and why you'd like to go to Russia, and also you talking a little bit more about your qualifications for it. Your CV, so that's what you want to use to make sure that you meet the professional profile. The letters of reference, so these are going to be making sure that you have colleagues that think that you're also going to be a great representation of a Fulbrighter. Want to make sure that you are also in the right position professionally to be doing doing a program like this. Lastly, there's the institutional statement. So the institutional statement is a brief two-page overview of basically fact facts about your college. We want to know, you know, how many students are there, how big is it, what kind of programs do you have, what's your plan for internationalization, or what are you looking to create with the internationalization, different stuff like that. It's a much shorter application than the core program, but that's because it's also a shorter program. Okay, statement of intent. I don't want to stress too much on these because I'd like to move on to having you guys hear from Nadine, since she's the a special feature to the webinar today. So basically what I'll say is that with a statement of intent, you want to make sure to just follow the guidelines that we have online. Make sure to hit each bullet point and discuss them as clearly as possible. And you don't need to be brief. You have 5 full pages to talk about, you know, your qualifications, your interest, your university's interest, the need for this kind of program and seminar. So use all 5 pages. You have 3 to 5 pages if you're much less, if you're more short-winded than me. I'm pretty long-winded, which is why I'm running this webinar. Then you'll probably use all 5 pages. But if you can be a lot more succinct, then you can go for 3. So review process and timeline. So you'll see that all the different seminars have different deadlines and travel dates, different things like that. This is just to kind of give you a visual representation of what that looks like. So India and Taiwan were in August. They'll be leaving in March. They're the earliest. Russia, again, that deadline's in October. You guys will be over there in early April. The Japan and Korea program, that's November 1st for the deadline. They'll be leaving in June. And then lastly, you have the France and Germany programs, which have a very, very late deadline of February 1st, and they leave in the same year in October. So they're over a year out from us right now as far as when they'll be traveling. And I am very excited to announce that we have our alumna, Nadine Russell, on the line today. She is, again, the director of the Global Learning Office at Central Piedmont Community College, and she was just recently over in Russia. So, Nadine, I'll hand it over to you.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon, everyone. I wanted to start off with the pictures that are on the slide, just to demonstrate the difference between day 2 and day 12 as far as temperature while we were in Russia. So as you can see from that very left picture, I think that was day 2 with all the snow on the ground. By the time we ended up in Moscow, the sun was shining, and they said it was the warmest day they'd had in years at that time of the year. I think it was 67 degrees. But again, I was fortunate enough to participate in the CCAS for this past year. I just wanted to discuss with you, I guess, the process in terms of when I decided to apply, the timeline of applying, and then the experience that I had while in Russia. So if you can go to the next slide for me, please. Thank you. I use this as the beginning for a presentation that I did once I returned from my CCAS. And I was able to present not only to colleagues, but at a couple of conferences. And the title was Educational Collaboration as a Means for Diplomacy with Russia. And I say that because it goes back to the why I decided to choose Russia as opposed to some of the other IEA grants. Can you go to the next slide for me, please? Thank you. The why I chose Russia. So quite a few reasons, but I think it was last summer, I was sitting on the beach somewhere trying to organize my upcoming year and planning strategically for the college as far as programs. And there was a lot going on, obviously, as there is right now in our political climate. So I thought with the political climate the way it was, I felt the need for, I guess, more citizen-to-citizen diplomacy. And I thought Russia would be an excellent country to visit. I also thought about the fact that I knew very little about Russia at the time. And when I was discussing it with colleagues and friends and looking at the various IEA awards, and it included Germany and Taiwan, et cetera, I thought, you know what? People kept saying to me, why do you want to go to Russia? And when I asked people questions, what do you know about Russia? I found out that most of my colleagues and friends knew very little about the country, but they had strong opinions about it. And that was really one of the impetus for me wanting to apply specifically for Russia. As part of my application process, I created a questionnaire, a five-question questionnaire, and I was able to get my college to allow me to send it out to students as well as to faculty. And those questions, the response to those questions gave me a lot of interesting feedback that I was able to then use while I was in Russia. So as far as the application process, I took a look at the guidelines that were on the website that were just shown to you, and it was a bit intimidating at first, and I had to make sure that I broke it down into manageable pieces. So I spent quite a bit of time on my statement of intent first. Once I felt comfortable with the statement of intent, then I made sure I moved on to the institutional statement, and realizing that both are equally important, so I could demonstrate why it would benefit me professionally and personally to travel to Russia, but I had to make sure that I was able to tie that in specifically to my college and to the goals. And I can share with you, my background is as faculty. So I used to teach international business and accounting. So it was always one of our goals to try to have an exchange of some sort with the BRICS countries, so Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa. And we previously had exchanges, student-to-student exchanges, some of those countries, and faculty exchanges in some of those countries, but nothing with Russia. So again, that was a focus for why I wanted to do Russia. As far as the timeline, so as mentioned, the first round review, the application was due October 15th, and I made sure that when I completed the application, my first draft of it, I had two colleagues review it for me, and I had them review my statement of intent as well as the institutional statement, and then compare it to the guidelines and the prompts that were given in the application to see if someone outside who knew nothing about the Fulbright program could actually compare my application and see if I was responding to the prompt. So that was really important. And when I was able to do that, I got some really good feedback from two different colleagues that I think helped me make a stronger application or submit a stronger application. So once the application was submitted October 15th, I held my breath and waited. I think December was when I first got a response from the Fulbright office saying that my application was being sent on for the second round of reviews. And then in January, I also received a letter saying that there was an award, but the award was contingent upon funding. So you could start preparing, but hold off until you actually got the official letter. And I think that official letter probably came sometime in February. Again, totally excited. And once the award was received, then it was really a tight deadline to be able to get the background checks that were required, make sure the security clearances were done, get medical clearance from my doctors, et cetera. So I would say make sure things you can do to prepare. As far as medical clearance, if you haven't had shots in a while, or if you don't know where your childhood medical records are, I would suggest, highly suggest, that you get those things in order so that doesn't become an issue when it's time to travel. And then the end of the award, obviously the last bullet there is the travel. So I'd like to spend some time discussing with you what the travel was like and the makeup, the demographics of the group that traveled with me. We can move to the next slide. Thank you. Oh, one more back. Okay, there we go. So our schedule, and to say that it was an intense schedule, I think is an understatement. There were 14 days, and I say 14 consecutive days of meetings and presentations. So when we first got the schedule, we thought there was going to be a one-day break, I think maybe 7 days in. And I remember that on that day, and flexibility is so important with any exchange program. I say that to students all the time. But I remember on day 7, we thought we were going to be having a break, but there was another meeting that was scheduled. So we really were in meetings pretty much for 14 days. But it was one of the most beneficial experiences of my life, even though it was an intense schedule. So I just wanted to share a little bit as far as the demographics of who traveled with us for this year. There are normally 5 awardees. This year there were 6 of us. And the diversity of the group, I think, just added value to our presentation as well. So as I mentioned, my background is I'm the director of the Global Learning Office. So I've taught accounting, but I've managed the International Education Office for approximately 5 years of the college. So my role is to globalize curriculum. It is to bring international speakers onto campus. It is to manage exchanges as far as education abroad or faculty exchanges as well. And traveling with our group this year for CCAS, we had someone who was the director of the grants office at one of the community colleges. We had another president of a community college. We had a VP of academic affairs. We had a VP of student life, and we had a dean. So a very diverse group of us. Within the 14 days, the very first day we landed in Moscow, I believe that Sarah mentioned that you may spend a couple days at the Fulbright office in Moscow. For us, we literally landed on a Sunday in Moscow. We were on a plane Monday morning to our first city. So we did not see anything of Moscow until the very last 2 days of the program, which I thought was excellent. So we traveled from Moscow to Kazan, which is known as the sports capital of Russia. From Kazan, we traveled to Annapolis, and then by train, so actually by bus to Yoshkar-Ola. And from Yoshkar-Ola to Moscow was a 10-hour overnight train ride. So we literally did hit plane, bus, car, train, everything within those 14 days. Included in that, we visited, I say 10 plus, it was probably closer to 15 different colleges or higher education institutions during that process. And in thinking about what a typical day looked like for us, I can honestly say that there was no typical day. We had to be prepared to be in meetings, to do presentations, to receive feedback from the colleagues that we were meeting in Russia, but there literally was no typical day. So it varied from, we may have had presentations where we were speaking to a group of administrators or faculty, maybe a group of 5 or 10 people, to where we were presenting to classrooms of students that were 50-plus people or students. So it went from small group presentations to larger presentations. We created a PowerPoint prior to leaving, a joint PowerPoint between all 6 of us that traveled. So we had an idea of what we were going to each be covering as far as topic. But our presentation was also translated into Russian. So there were some days that our presentation was we were speaking and there was a translator there, and there were other days that our presentation was totally in English. So it just varied depending upon the audience and the school. But I can say every meeting that we had, I think, was fruitful, and we learned a lot from the administrators, obviously, but we also really learned a lot when we had a chance to speak one-on-one and directly with students. As I mentioned, our last 2 days were in Moscow. And we were fortunate this year that there was the anniversary of the Moscow in Russia program going on while we were there, a conference. So we were able to meet over 100 participants from Russia who participated in the Fulbright to be able to transition to the U.S. So we were able to meet quite a few of those folks and then provide feedback about what our experience was, because we were at the end of our grant at that point in time. The photo on the very bottom, I think right of your screen, was an example of a presentation that we were doing in a classroom. And you can see in the background, you know, the Fulbright, but we had, again, a variety of students as well as administrators for that particular program. As far as the demographics as well as of schools that we visited schools that had a focus on culinary, hospitality, nursing, legal, you name it, the gamut, we were able to visit and speak to either administrators or students from a variety of programs. So if you know that there are particular programs of focus that you have at your schools, I would certainly say and encourage you to include that in your applications. Okay? If we can move on to the next slide. Thank you. This was just an excerpt, again, from the presentation I did as far as lessons learned. And there were, again, you know, numerous lessons learned. But I share with you that it literally took 12, maybe 13 days in, even though we were visiting a variety of schools and asking questions, it took a while to get that comprehensive analysis and view of how the educational system in Russia compared to that in the U.S., and specifically where community colleges fit into that. So if you are able to participate in this award, be patient with yourself in terms of it is a complicated process, and you will learn a lot and come away with a lot from it. Something else that was important for me to take away was just understanding, truly understanding the size and diversity of the country in terms of, in my mind and in most of our minds when we travel, you know, you have an impression of Russians as a homogenous group of people, which could be further from the truth. So there were folks that I met in Yoshkar Ola that commented to me that traveling to Moscow was like traveling to a foreign country to them, because it was so different in terms of not only ethnicity, but culture and foods and music and things like that. So keeping in mind that it really is a very diverse country. And the second bullet I have, it says students studying in Russia versus Russian students. And I put that because in one of my presentations, I made a comment and I think I asked a question, you know, I would like to know from Russian students what you would like to ask of your American counterparts. At the end of the presentation, someone actually pulled me aside and said, corrected me and said, you shouldn't say Russian students. You should say students studying in Russia, because a lot of the students that were in the class don't consider themselves Russian because they're a variety of ethnicities, so they're not all Russian. Even though they're Russian by nationality, they're not all Russian by ethnicity. So that's why I wanted to mention that. So that was just one of the many lessons learned. We can go to the next slide, please. Thank you. I wanted to show you pictures of the food because I cannot overstate that there was food all the time and everywhere. So I think by the end of the program, all of us had gained a little bit of weight and needed to come back home and exercise. What we found out was, and I think it's probably the same in the U.S., the most insightful conversations really did occur over meals. So even though we had official meetings and delegations and things like that, it was just that lunch or dinner meeting and having a conversation with a colleague or with students where you were able to ask some of those questions that may not have been discussed in a larger forum and be able to truly delve deeper into the culture and understanding expectations. But the photo on the right with the table of food is an example of we would start a meal thinking that what was on the table was our entire meal, and that's a lot of food. And food would continue to come out even over and above that. So as I mentioned before, the abundance of food is something that I wasn't prepared for, but I think, you know, everyone should be prepared for and expect. The food was amazing in terms of the diversity of it and just the amount of different things that we were able to try. So I believe I will stop there for now and leave time for questions, because I'll answer any question that any of you may have about the process.
Thank you, Nadine, so much for that very comprehensive view of the program, and I am so hungry looking at all these pictures. One of my favorite things about having alumni on the presentations is without fail, they always send us pictures of food. So food seems to be a reoccurring theme in all of the IA and CCAS seminars. So it sounds like you'll be well-fed in your time abroad. Before we get to questions, I want to go on and just give you guys some little bit of closing information, and then we can open the floor to questions, but feel free to go on and type them in now. But we will go on and move to the next slide, which this is just your resource slide. I just wanted to point it back out to you again. Because this webinar will be saved online, including the PowerPoint, you'll be able to have access to all of this. So we've got the link to our website along with the catalog of awards, which is where you'll find the award description for the Russia program. You'll also have a direct link to the application instructions, which are special instructions for the IA-CCAS program, don't forget, application guidelines, which again are there a little bit different for IA and CCAS. Webinars. So this webinar was specifically for Russia. However, we also will have, we've had webinars in the past on India and Taiwan. We've had an application walkthrough of the IA programs, And we've also had a general overview. And the next slide will tell you about what's coming up for webinars. There's also a blog, so we've had some of the alumni from the past write about their experiences. It's a great way to hear from another perspective that's not us about the program and the benefits of it and what people have gained. It'll also give you a nice bit of motivation if you're struggling to hit submit on that application. And then finally, there's this resource called My Fulbright. So this is a website where you can go and register your interest in the Fulbright program. Basically, it's a really great way for you to sign up with an account and then say you're interested in the Community College Administrator Seminar. You're specifically interested in Russia. And that way, anytime we ever send out emails about program announcements or application deadlines, anything like that, you'll be included in those email messages. So it's a great way for you to hear from us at any point in time. All right. And lastly, so we've got the upcoming webinars. So today is Russia. Later on this month, we will have a joint webinar for Japan and Korea. Much later on, at the end of the year, we'll have a webinar on Germany, and then a separate one for France. Okay, and then finally, we have, so this is the My Fulbright link again, if you want to register your interest. If you have questions about the program, about logistics, about eligibility, suitability, email us at iea@iie.org, and Sarah or I will be getting back to you about that. Again, a website, and then lastly, if you feel like maybe it's not the right time for you to be going abroad, or if you have colleagues that you would like to also be going abroad, you can refer them via our website right here. And you can do so anonymously or not, so we'd be happy to build you up and say that, you know, use your name and say that John Smith has recommended you for a Fulbright program. We'd love to tell you more about it, or you can do so anonymously. And also, feel free to follow us on social media. We've got a Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram accounts. So again, that motivation if you need it before hitting submit or while crafting that statement of intent. So now I'd like to open the floor for questions. If you all have any questions, please feel free to type in. So one person asked us, they used to live in Moscow as a child. Would familiarity with the country or culture help or hurt my application? So if you were there as a child, likely you weren't experiencing the higher education system and just the sector at a professional level. And so something like that will be fine. It's great to, you can go on and say, you know, personally, I'd love to be able to go back, see how different things are. I'd be looking at it with a new set of eyes, totally different perspective and different motives. So that's something where you can mention as far as just your personal interest, but also be able to say that professionally it's something that I'm lacking and would like to gain. Let's see. Somebody was asking, who will be reading our statement of intent, the institutional statement? What audience are we writing to? You're writing to many, many people. So we can go back. Let's see. We have, we'll go back to Nadine's slide about the application. Let's see. Okay, so when you apply, you have your application. Your application will be reviewed by IEA staff like me. We're just going to be looking for your eligibility to make sure you have the 5 years, you work at a community college, things like that. The first person to be reading your application as you being an applicant and your legitimacy for the program will be the Fulbright Commission in Russia, or the Community College Administrator Seminar alumni. So that's a domestic review. And so the alumni are going to be reviewing your application and looking at your eligibility as a Fulbrighter, your suitability for the program. They want to see that, you know, you're at the right professional profile, the time in your career seems to be lining up, that, and that also you would be a good representative of the U.S. So that's one group of people that's looking at your application. Those are Americans that are alumni of the program. The second group of people that are going to be reading your application is the Fulbright office in Russia. And so that selection committee can comprise of different people. It could be Russian citizens that went on the opposite kind of equivalent program to the CCAS seminar, where it was Russian citizens coming to the U.S. to learn about higher education. It could be people in their office over there. It varies, but typically they're going to be people that are in that country.
Mary Rolfe, can I add?
Yes,
another type of audience that might be reading them in country are, in some cases, U.S. citizens overseas, so other citizens on Fulbright grants or on another type of grant. They might also be on those review committees, so just keep that in mind.
Yes, definitely. There are, and they vary every year as well. They'll vary by, you know, who's in country, maybe the contacts that they have. But just know that when you write your application, you can address everyone. You don't have to say, dear, Mary Rothmiller. You can say, you know, dear Fulbright Committee, something like that, selection committee. And also know that for the IEA programs, it's a little less simple. You don't have to get as technical, like a chemistry person trying to describe ionic bonds or something. So you can get a little technical with the talking about the work that you're doing and things like that. But just know that it might not necessarily be other people in higher education that are reviewing your application, as far as on the international review side of things.
Okay, let's see. We do have another question, Mary Rolfe. Obviously, Nadine gave such a great overview of her experience. Nadine, would you be willing to share any contact details to allow any applicants to get in touch with you? Is that something you're willing to do?
Absolutely.
Great. Great. So if anyone does have a question like that, please reach out to us and we'll connect you with Nadine, just in case you don't get your answer today or perhaps you don't know what you want to ask today.
And another great resource as well, and I'm going to pull up, is the Scholar Directory. That is a place where you can search and see who else and from what other colleges we've had alumni. So what you'll do is go to the Fulbright homepage. You'll go down here to Fulbright Scholar Directory. And then what you'll want to do is click U.S. Scholar and Seminar. And then we'll use Advanced Features and pick Russia. And search. And this comes up with any alumni from the CCAS programs as of 2010. And so you'll see Broward College, De Anza College, Sterling Campus, Forsyth Technical Community College. And so you can get an idea of all the different people that have also been on Fulbright with this program. You can even click in here, and sometimes you'll get a little bit further information. A lot of times, so we don't release contact information for the grantees in the directory. However, typically their information is public on their university or college's website. So you feel free to reach out to them. Okay. All right. So Nadine, I have a question for you. What would you say is the highlight of your trip?
Wow, that's a tough one. I think the highlight for me was visiting Yoshka Ola, which was the smallest place that we were we visited. And just knowing that people said to me, this is real Russia. So when you're in Moscow, when you're in Kazan, that's not real Russia. This is the way typical Russian lives. So we had 3 days in Yoshka Ola, and that was an amazing experience to me. And I think we were also there, so we crossed, we were there for Easter Sunday. So it was a week after Easter here, and being able to experience Easter there, whether you're a religious person or not, just understanding the culture and seeing, you know, the average daily life, that was my highlight. And that happens to be the place where I met someone that I've been keeping in touch with, a colleague from one of the schools there, and we've been WhatsApping each other back and forth. So I know what's going on in her life, she knows what's going on in mine, and she's helping to facilitate further connections with other schools that we met just because we were able to connect in that smaller town. So that was the highlight for me.
Oh, that's awesome. Thank you for that. Let's see. So we have a technical question about the application and as far as submission material. So should we include source citations in our statement of intent? And if so, what format do you prefer? You do not need to include citations in your statement of intent. Because we're only asking for 3 to 5 pages, we know that it's a short amount of space to say a lot of stuff. And so there's no need to cite anything. If you feel, if it just kind of totally goes against everything, every fiber in your being, and you'd like to cite them, that's totally fine. Just make sure it is within 5 pages. And you can use any format that you would like. Okay. Should I received a student Fulbright grant under my maiden name, should I reference this in my statement of intent? So the student program and the scholar program are completely separate, so there's no need for you, as far as eligibility factors, to have to address that. There is a question in the application that asks if you've had any previous Fulbrights. When that's perfectly fine to add your student grant in there, it won't affect your eligibility at all. And you are welcome for answering questions. I also just want to take a minute before, since we are a little bit over time, to thank Nadine for joining us today. It's always really helpful to hear from alumni of the program. They're kind of the heart that keeps this program beating for us, and we love hearing about their experiences. It makes it just that much more exciting to implement the program. And so we want to thank you for joining us, and we also want to thank you all for listening to us today. Again, if you have any questions, feel free to reach out to us at iea@iie.org. And Sarah, or Nadine, do you guys have any last comments?
This is Nadine. Again, it was one of the most rewarding experiences of my life, and if anyone wants to reach out and ask further questions, feel free to do so.
Actually, we are getting some responses for you, Nadine, thanking you so much for your insight, so I just wanted to let you know that. I think, Mary Rolf, you hit everything. We're happy, as Mary Rolf said earlier. If you have any questions, please email us at iea@iie.org. Mary Rolf or myself would be more than happy to answer any questions that you have, and we look forward to working with you, and we hope you guys start your application soon.
Okay. Have a great day, everyone. Thanks for joining.
Bye-bye.